afternoon, St. Louis, DGS and KMOX. Happy Wednesday to you. Just talking about how after 5 years of hearing the Jerry Kelly theme, I finally figured out what it says. I thought it was, we're eating spaghetti, getting sweaty, and so we ate it out of the pan. And I've always thought, whoever writes your music is great. Whoever writes the lyrics sucks, because you can totally eat spaghetti out of a pan. I didn't understand
and
it.
And you didn't understand the relevance?
No, I didn't get it.
To heating and cooling?
Yeah, no. Just thought it was a bad song.
But then once it clicked.
Yeah, it makes sense.
I mean, like,
it's not an opus, but, you know, it makes some sense. Yeah, we're just talking about, we have a coworker who I find to be a tryhard. Just going to put that out there. And
it's me.
And we were talking about you had, what do you call it, fake hustle.
Yeah, there's fake hustle. Like, they're,
you Pete know, Rose.
Like, when you call someone a tryhard, you don't mean that they're like the grinder that's trying hard all the time and actually getting ahead. It's the one that's money. Let everybody know that they're attempting to show themselves. Like, it's fake hustle.
I like it.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
I've done it.
I think everybody has to a degree at some point, but when you're a regular tryhard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've never been a tryhard, but in sports, I was definitely trying to fake hustle as much as I could. Anytime the coach
really?
Was looking.
Yeah.
You're
like, yeah. Well, yeah.
And then just
again, I think everybody does that sometimes, because there are times you just tired, or you're not feeling it, or you're a kid. Yeah. You know, when you're a kid, you got no reasons for your motivations. You just are what you are.
My only skill is trying hard. Like, that's why I'm a runner.
But you're not a tryhard, though.
I'm not a tryhard. It's just a
pretty tryhard comment from you, though.
Yeah. Running is like
just
the,
putting it out.
Yeah. No, it's just like I have no skill. Like, I'm not. That's why golf offends me. Like, I'm very effort based, and you can't try harder at golf. It doesn't make you better, but you can try harder at running or something like that. But I don't like when effort doesn't matter.
Listen to Rudy over here.
Yeah.
Talk about
all you gotta do is try.
Gosh, if you had half the heart of Amy.
No, I was Rudy on my hockey team.
You'd win a Marconi.
My coach said I was like Rudy. He's like, you're not very good, but you bring this good attitude.
Nothing? Did they carry you off the ice, or did it not happen just like it didn't happen, Rudy getting carried off the field?
No, but it was actually similar. We were winning 11-0 against a team that we totally outmatched. So my coach, once we were up 11-0, thought, well, she's not as big of a risk now. Put me on the ice. I scored the 12th goal and my whole team jumped on the ice.
Yeah, hold on.
You did have a Rudy.
So this, yes, yeah, speaking of Rudy, have you heard that am I making this up, that in hindsight, it turned out his teammates, when they put him on the shoulder, they were just mocking
him? They were. That's what Joe, I think Joe Montana told that story.
Yeah, that they weren't actually like, yeah, Rudy, we're behind you. It was like, hey, way to go, you idiot. You finally did something.
That's sad.
No, I think that's true. I think Joe Montana, I'm going to Google it, but I think Joe Montana actually told that
story.
That's
what I thought.
It was like, yeah, guys, we weren't really like celebrating.
That's mean.
And he, this whole time, he's thinking, wow.
Who'd have thought college boys in Notre Dame could be mean?
Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, here you go. So there's a couple of different versions of it, but one of the headlines is, Joe Montana tells us the Rudy is a fraud.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
This whole time, he's been like, I inspired all of my teammates because I tried so hard.
I wonder if he knew.
What's that, Rudy?
Rudy.
Maybe not. He maybe thought that it was real.
That. I hope he knew. I don't like when people are like genuine. Well,
so do you think he let them go through the whole making of the movie process?
Was the Rudy thing, was it a book? And then made to a movie, or did it just
remember.
Be made into a movie? Because I always wondered, I've never watched it because I refuse, but no, I can't.
Quite a sentence.
I
knew he would be a Rudy hater.
It's not even about Rudy. It was like, I hate Notre Dame and I don't want to see anything that's like, oh, Notre Dame's amazing.
I'll tell you what. If Rudy is, in the movie,
if Rudy
Kevin,
went to Ohio State, I probably would have watched
it. Here's what I'll tell you. If Rudy in real life is a third of what he was in the movie, I wish he'd have never gotten into the school. I wish he'd have spent his whole time at Holy Cross really, really trying and never getting accepted, because he is annoying in that movie.
Is that the movie where there is the like the accident at the factory?
Yeah, his brother dies or something.
Or whatever.
Something. Whatever. Something.
Try hard.
What a try
but
hard.
Isn't there a factory accident in an officer and a gentleman as well?
Oh, dude, I don't know.
Yeah, Montana did. So he went on Dan Patrick, I think it was.
Well,
not sure those are.
over the place.
Let's try and stay a little focused,
I'm doing Richard Gere movies in my head.
Yeah.
I think there is.
Well, Amy, we're talking about Rudy.
It was funny. Yeah, Joe Montana's like, remember, it's a movie. It's not all true. The crowd wasn't chanting. Nobody threw in their jerseys.
I knew the jersey thing didn't happen.
He said we were, quote, kind of playing around. I won't say as a joke, but playing around.
Okay, now.
I like how Joe Montana's like, no, don't get it twisted. I was a jerk. I was awful to that boy.
Well, no, I mean, somebody asked him if it was real, and it's been positioned for years as if everybody rallied behind Rudy, and of course, obviously.
So,
they
so Joe had an option. Do I let him live this dream, or do I tear it down right now?
This is awful.
And he did exactly what every jerk quarterback in every high school movie ever does. So he always crap on everybody else.
This is awful. Now you're going to tell me that, like, Babe wasn't even very good at herding sheep.
He was a pig.
Okay. Dave, what do you got?
Nothing now.
Yeah.
That brought a stop to it. I know that Andrew would like Chris to try harder.
Yeah. Do better, Chris.
Me?
Yeah, you.
The first thing on his sheet today, Ranji made me more angry than he ever has before.
Oh, awesome.
Your stupid cup. Okay, so Chris has...
Hey, I need to thank... before you tell the story, I need to thank Mike Elam, but go ahead.
Yeah, no. Yeah, no, Elam was the one. He's been talking about that for a long time, so it totally makes sense that he would... After someone that you basically live with for several hours a day would tell you about it for months and months and months. No, Elam mentions it one time in the hallway, and you're like, I gotta get on this.
He's talking about the Panera Sip Club.
So Ranji comes in, and he's shaking the stupid cup at me, and he's like... You gotta get on this, man. Panera Sip Club. You get any drink you want. You get it every 2 hours. You get any drink on the menu. You just walk in there, you say, I want it, they give it to you free. And I'm like, yeah, I know. I've been doing that for like a year now. And
I've
been telling
you
about it.
It's one of the top three things that
define
you.
Yeah.
Yes. I talked about that so many times.
It's amazing. Clearly I half listened to Andrew.
Shut up.
Because Mike Elam brought in, he had his Panera cup and he's like, I do the Sip Club thing. I'm like, I should get on that.
I'm so mad.
And then apparently Andrew's been telling me about it for months, and it's just...
Working with you is making me think Biden's not that bad.
Like,
see? Told you. Because I was in that room.
That's why he loves Biden so much. That's why he defends him so hard.
Yeah, I was in that room. He's got the Biden tattoo. You got to stick with that. But I was in that room with Andrew, not even listening. I knew about the Sip Club. I don't know. This guy.
You should at least pretend you listen.
I remember you talking about the drink they used to have that almost killed you.
Yeah.
But I don't remember you saying it was a Sip Club thing. So so I half listened. I got part of it.
Oh, I'm sorry. It made me so mad. It continues to make me so mad that I thought for sure he was doing it on purpose. Like, I realized, I was like, wait. No. You're doing this to,
Ranji would
to
never
get on
gaslight
my nerves.
You.
I don't do bits.
And he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. He's like, no, seriously, what are you talking about? This is the Panera Sip Club. You can get a free drink every... I got iced coffee.
Let me put you on to something, Andrew. It's called the Panera Sip Club.
He came in one day and he's like, you ever been to Casey's Pizza?
Have you guys ever tried KFC? They got this thing called a famous bowl.
I'm sorry, Andrew.
Oh, I'm still so mad about it.
I apologize, though,
so it's
over. I
watched you drinking that thing all day, and every time I saw it, I was like, this guy...
Andrew, can you see why his girlfriend threw his phone in the toilet?
He doesn't have a girlfriend.
Not anymore. She threw my phone in the toilet.
Too unlovable.
Speaking of food, what is your 50-cent mozzarella night?
Oh, yeah. You got. You know what? It must have been while you were...
It was fast food news last week.
Yeah, it was fast food news. Yeah, it was while you were out of town. Applebee's has 50-cent mozzarella sticks.
Per stick.
Per stick, 50 cents a stick, which is still a pretty good deal.
Unlimited?
Well, I mean, as many as you can order. I ordered 10, which just for me, because, of course, my wife can't eat them because she has an allergy, which turned out to be...
It's a lot of cheese.
Oh, my God. It was so much. It was way too much. It was way too much.
Have you guys seen that meme that's like six pieces of string cheese? Oh, this is far too much cheese. But then if you dip it in batter and fry it, then suddenly it becomes an amazing snack.
Yeah, 10 was way, because they're substantial. They're huge. They're not like, like Burger King or whatever. Like, they're big, full-size mozzarella sticks. And so I ate 10 of them before the food got there. And the waitress kept coming by asking, like, do you want, like, extra, like, small plates to share? And I was like, nah, it won't be necessary.
She has a terrible dairy allergy.
It won't be necessary.
She even touches one of these.
These 10 mozzarella sticks are entirely for me. And then I tried to eat an entire meal on top of that. And was a bit of a mistake. I messed up on that one, guys. It was a little too much.
My bad.
So you know, it's a
I'm
good
go
deal.
With this. We all make mistakes. First time you've made the too much cheese mistake.
Well, I had this problem with food where I visualize it incorrectly. Like, I visualize 10 mozzarella sticks as like, that's like nothing. I'll probably need to order like
I can't tell if this is really
more.
Smart or really dumb.
It's not smart. It's dumb. It's dumb because that's, you know.
So you picture them smaller than they are?
I guess I just picture, like, I don't know if it's like a eyes larger than my mind's eye is larger than my mind's real life stomach.
Reel that out there pretty smoothly.
I think Rachel's perspective, like, I had never thought of it that way, but you're right.
Oh,
like,
I stole it from a meme. Okay. I won't pretend that I came up with
like
that.
10 sticks of string cheese, you'd be like, you're insane.
Yeah, that's way that's too much.
I've always thought that about drinking. Like, if we went out and Amy said, I'm having 12 Diet Cokes tonight, I'd be like,
yeah,
you're insane. But if she's like, I'm having the whole 12-pack of beer, like, okay.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Tear it down. Right. Yeah. But, 10 is too many. 10 is way too many. I would advise.
Safety. Yeah.
Yeah, PSA to anybody out there who's thinking about getting mozzarella sticks. Start at 10, cut it in half, and then you can work from there. You can be like, no, maybe I'll add an extra one.
Start at 10. It's just that's so many.
What's up?
Did you finish them?
Yes, of course I did.
Welcome back, DGS 122. We had an awesome Trish sighting today. You know, Trish does most of her work from home. We don't get to see her that often. And she walks into the office. She's like, hey. She goes, hey. It stinks in here. And, you know, Rach and I are like welcoming her into our home. We're like, oh, I'm sorry. Does it? And rather than being like, I mean, it's not that bad. She goes, yeah, like onions. You probably just can't smell it. Like, hey, Trish.
Did you have onions?
Nope.
No. That's the troubling part.
And it was in your office?
Yep.
Is it still hot in there?
They just got the air going.
Okay.
Yeah, it's feeling okay. Now I feel like we need to get a candle or something if we have an onion.
We're not
office.
Allowed to.
Oh, right.
They're verboten. Can't
I
have
forgot.
Them.
Oh, we're not allowed to have them in the building?
No, they can set off the alarms, and I think somebody's allergic to soy or something. So,
sorry.
Maybe some potpourri then.
Maybe like a wax warmer. Those don't count.
I was thinking about the food thing. We all had lunch today over across the street at Chris's. Hey, guys. And we were talking about, I'll just say it, like, we're all Hoosiers. I don't care if you're from Planet Granite or South Roxana or Ladue or Kirkwood. You're a Hoosier. You just, you know, maybe you're an upper echelon Hoosier, but you're a Hoosier.
Yeah.
And we're talking about Hoosier food. And I said that I thought my dad had been promoted to management the first time we had Shake and Bake.
Oh, really?
I really did. I'm like, I didn't know we were in that tall of cotton.
Yeah, we grew up nothing but plain. Everything was plain.
Bush. Yeah, it wasn't a lot of seasoning back in the day.
And then it was like salt and pepper for dad. And then I didn't know any different. As a kid, I just like, that's food. That's what you do.
Yeah, and then the BLTs, I had no idea what the L and the T stood for the longest time. Because on the east side, right, Rage?
It's just a bacon
white
sandwich.
White bread, bacon.
Really?
Miracle Whip.
Smoosh it.
Wish I had one right now.
Mm.
I love this Bakelitin sandwich. Got an L and T in there. You throw the L and the T
in.
He
always tries, and I appreciate it.
He does.
Good try, buddy.
Is that Crown Candy bacon sandwich just what else is on it? Is it a
BLT?
BLT?
I don't know.
It's a BLT. It's a BLT. Yeah. Okay. That's like a pound of bacon.
Mm-hmm.
A lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot.
Bacon's good, though.
Yeah. It's probably
it's one thing you don't really have to season either. In fact, it's a provider of flavor for other things.
That's right.
Yeah.
Steak.
Why are you doing this to us, Dave?
Yeah, I don't know. It didn't go the way I thought it was going to go. What are you going to do? I tell you something about this shooting. This is on a serious topic now, obviously. I, unlike my friend Amy, do not believe in divine intervention. This one's got me stumped. I watched a little AI version, you know, like a digitized version of Trump, and he's speaking and it's in slow motion. He's turning his head this way and that way, and they're showing the trajectory the best they can tell of the three rounds that came close to him. And I mean, he turns his head exactly when it would need to avoid hitting him, probably in front of the ear and going through his brain, hits him in the ear, and then two more just whiz past him within a couple of inches. I mean, I don't know which is more unbelievable, that there's a deity out there that cares and manipulated the time-space continuum so that he wouldn't get hit, or that it was just that much happenstance. That's a lot of happenstance.
You know, and I will say this. Yes, I believe in God, and that he is not unattached to world happenings, that he absolutely is in control. However, I've heard a lot of rhetoric saying, like, God save Donald Trump to be president. God save Donald Trump for this reason.
But somebody died.
Yeah. What about the other guy?
Right.
Yeah.
So, well, somebody died, but also, yes, you know, by the grace of God, Donald Trump was not killed. But it doesn't mean necessarily because God wants Trump to be president. I mean, for the good of our country, for the good of his family, for so many reasons, we're all so grateful that Donald Trump was not killed. Our hearts are broken for the father who was killed and the other people who were injured. But I do push back a bit when, because we were hearing a lot of this at the Republican convention, is like, God save Trump so that he could be president. Okay, well, you don't know that. You know, that you don't ascribe your political leanings to God, who is not Republican or Democrat.
Smart.
Good call.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I would be more inclined to believe it's, or it could be, or, you know, entertain the idea that maybe it was that if somebody didn't, a completely innocent person, forget his politics, but that guy in the crowd, he didn't do anything.
Nope.
He didn't do anything to deserve that, and he died. So I can't buy that whole argument that God stepped in and made that happen, because why would he do it at the expense of a completely innocent person?
Well, and first of all, I wouldn't give it an either or. Why would he do it at the expense? And
I would. It doesn't make sense.
Well, again, God also allows things to happen. Like, we have free will. People have made decisions to, you know, to be the shooter. He didn't, like, control the shooter. That's not how it works. That's not how I believe. We have free will to make good decisions and bad decisions. But I think my biggest thing is, I view it as, I pray for our country. I pray for our president, whoever is president. I pray for our leaders. And by the grace of God, we didn't have a former presidential candidate killed, which would have thrown this country into unknown catastrophic turmoil.
Oh, I can't vote for myself in this contest for another 13 hours, so cover for me. If you go to our Facebook page, you can see a little click through. It's the Post-Dispatch St. Louis Headliners, and I'm up for Best Radio Personality against a couple. Well, I mean, I know everyone I'm going up against. A couple of them are okay. I know you don't care about this because it's close, but I thought the uniforms last night for the All-Star game were ridiculously, distractingly horrible.
A lot of people agreed with you. There was a lot of complaining online.
It kind of goes back to the try-hard thing. It's like,
a little bit, yeah.
When you're going to be a try-hard, at least succeed. But when you, and I'm not, we all know the difference, no need to belabor it, but there's a difference between trying hard and being a try hard.
Yes.
Try hard is fake hustle.
Yes.
And when you're trying to fake hustle with these ridiculous uniforms, and then they're so awful. I love this guy's description. It said, the uniforms look like a team from a 1980s sci-fi film about baseball in the future versus a United Methodist Men's Softball League. Really did.
Yeah, you see a lot of uniforms that are like that in softball leagues or even in youth baseball because they want to be a little bit more flair. I don't care for them. If you put me into Rob Manfred's seat and I could change it, I would just have them wear their team uniforms, mm-hmm. or maybe even give them the option of wearing those City Connect uniforms, just if you want to have a little more fun. Their whole point is they're trying to create something to sell, right? That's why they want these, because people will buy them. But I don't think people do. Like, have you ever seen anybody walking around in an All-Star jersey?
I mean,
I've never seen it.
I would be more apt to buy an All-Star version of my favorite player's All-Star jersey. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That if they did
if it had a patch on it.
Yeah,
or,
they did a special one for the Cardinals, and you could buy that way more than those things that look like they hadn't been laundered in 10 years.
I mean, I run in the sports pro circles. That's where I live, and I don't ever see All-Star jerseys. I don't ever see anybody wearing, like, the 2018 National League All-Star team jersey. You just don't see it.
They looked like it was a design your own jersey with very basic clip art font.
Yeah. It looks like the stuff you see on MLB The Show, because you can create your own uniforms and you want. Like, you'll see people that'll upload their creation. You'll see then that's what it looks like.
Yeah.
And not to knock on those people. That's just people having fun on a video game. This is a major sport trying to make a little bit of extra cash on the side. which is silliness.
So you're making it through the week okay?
It's tough, dude. Right now, like today and tomorrow are tough. I'll get through it, though. I'll soldier through by playing video games.
Now, there's a big new one out, right?
Well, college football is out. I haven't gotten it yet because you have to wait till Friday without paying extra. Hmm. And just as a matter of principle, I'm not going to pay extra to have it 3 days early.
Hmm.
I don't want to do that because you had to get the deluxe edition and you can play it 3 days early. I'm like, you know, I want to, but I don't want it that badly to where I'm going to be a sucker.
One time I was watching Survivor Man and he had a special hatchet. And I decided I needed this hatchet. It was the all-in-one, fantastic, small little, you know.
I have a knife like that, yeah.
There you go. And I ordered it, and it was like $150 or something. Hmm. And for $20 extra, you could get it overnighted, so I did.
I need this hatchet now.
Because you need it tomorrow.
And Maureen goes, I don't want to get into your business, but is there a reason you needed to overnight a hatchet to the house?
Suspicious. That's actually
suspicious. That's a little sus. You're not wrong.
Good boy.
Can I get it overnight? Because I hatchet so much stuff at home.
Right. I mean, like, just because you don't use something regularly doesn't mean it couldn't be useful at some point. Like, there are like the stupid knife thing. I don't use it every day, but you know what? There have been a few times like, I'm glad I had that. It helped me with a little simple task. Otherwise, I'd have been like looking around for something, or I wouldn't have had it with me in the car or whatever.
Yeah. I had someone give me a $1,500 knife. Super nice knife one time, and I've used it to cut lemons.
Hey, well, what are you going to know?
I mean, what else are you going to do? Stick a dude?
Hey, look, if you did. I mean, but if you have to, you're covered.
Right. Yeah, cut them smooth.
Just like lemons.
Just like lemons. I will quarter you, my friend.
I'm using lemons to keep the blade sharp.
I'll squeeze what's left.
Use it or lose it.
Yeah, if I stick you with my lemon knife, it's going to sting.
Oh, yeah. But it
my
will be
lemon
clean.
Knife.
It will be clean.
It's called the lemon knife.
Yes, the lemon knife.
Lemon.
It would be way better, by the way, if you used the hatchet for your lemons.
Yes, we should offer both of those in some sort of like raise money for charity. Get Dave's lemon knife, stick a dude, pin it on me. It's covering my DNA in lemon juice.
Get Dave's lemon soaked hatchet. Smells great.
Race, what's the St. Louis Magazine thing?
Oh yeah, let me get this pulled up. They did a list of the 10 things that St. Louis does really, really well, and I'm wondering if we agree with all of these things. Let's start with the number one thing they have on the list, and that is parks. I mean, I would definitely agree with that.
I thought you started to say park, and I was going to be like, no.
We're bad at parking.
Parks, they do excellent.
Yeah, we have some amazing parks. Number two is the zoo, obviously. I think we all agree with that, too. Number three is generous funding for civic and artistic institutions.
I would agree with that. Yeah, I'm a bit in the creative world, and I know a lot of people who are deep into the artistic world, and I think we do. I think we do a nice job of supporting our artists.
Number four is devoted fandom. I mean, just with the new City SC team, just the way people responded to that, I think that kind of proves number four. Number five is, I like this one, embracing the weird. So St. Louis supporting institutions doing important artistic work, but we have like all these quirky things we do too, like the Moonlight Ramble, I mean, Cherokee Street in general, just different you know, places you can go and visit, like Venice Cafe or something.
Can we go back to the fandom?
Yeah.
Wheels, being a sports guy from out of town, and you may not want to be completely honest on this, I get why. Do you think that we overblow and toot our horn too much as being the best fans in sports and baseball and all that kind of stuff, or is there some truth to it?
I don't think there's any such thing as best, because there are a lot, like I'll pull the Tony La Russa. There are a lot of tied for first, because I don't think you can be better than somebody else that's really phenomenal at it. But this is a great sports town. Well, a great sports town. I've lived in Detroit, which is also a great sports town. Lived in Chicago, which is a great sports town. Lived in Miami, which is a horrible sports town.
Right, and that
it is the worst. Yeah. And Atlanta is a horrible sports town. Spent a lot of time there. Got family there. So there's a difference between a good sports town and a bad one or a mediocre one. This is one of the best.
And I think some of that has to do with so many St. Louisans live in St. Louis. are from St. Louis. Their parents are from St. Louis. Their grandparents. It's generations of following those teams. When you have big, sexy towns that people are going to, like Denver, like Miami, you're going to get a lot of newcomers who might have loyalties to other teams or maybe aren't into sports. But let's face it, we're not a big, sexy town that droves of people are moving to. So there's a lot of community generational fandom.
Yeah, but I mean, even New York is a great sports town.
But there are a lot of generational fans.
LA is terrible.
But New York is different, too, though. Even in LA, I do feel like while there are so many people in New York, there are a lot of generational fans. Yeah.
But I mean, like, I think that that's a, generally that's probably a good point. But I mean, I would say that Dallas is a really, really great sports town. And
what makes the town a bad one?
Mostly it's the flightiness of the fan base. Like they just stop caring. Like they only care. Like that's, if you take a look at Miami as an example, they only care about the teams if the teams are elite. If the teams aren't elite, they don't care. They will not go to games. They will not show up, which is understandable, by the way, because there's a lot of other stuff to do when you're in South Florida, right? There's a lot of other stuff to do when you're in Southern California. If the team isn't earning your attention, a million other things are attracting you. A million other things are pulling you in different directions. And in a lot of places, that's not true. But it is true in Chicago. It is true in New York. And they're still great sports towns. So maybe the best way I'd put it is the dedication to the teams that those fans have.
Rach, what else are we good at?
I like this one, too. Local quirks. So the rest of the world eats at Panera, but we eat at St. Louis Bread Company. We have our own, this is a direct quote, we have our own unique iteration of Arby's, except Lion's Choice is better.
Oh, it's way better.
Our own style of pizza and our own way of mangling French, which I thought Wheels would like.
It is pretty funny. Everything's named French and nothing's said French.
No one knows how to pronounce anything. The next thing is Bosnian food. I can't really speak to this because I always see like places on Uber Eats and stuff, but I've never ordered Bosnian food. But we have a tremendous Bosnian population in St. Louis, so I'm sure the food is
great,
too.
It's one of my favorite kinds of foods, and I don't seek it out nearly enough. I've been to a few of the places down in the Bosnian part of St. Louis, and they're fantastic.
We have many, many distinct neighborhoods, of course. I mean, that's one of our strengths for sure. We have amazing street parties, and then live music here in St. Louis is, of course, amazing.
It's a good list.
Yeah.
We are like a less popular Austin.
I think that's what you're describing, right? I think it's every city that, not every, but it's the characteristics that you would find in a city that's not 7 million people. Yeah. Right. It's a little more unique. It's a little because in New York, you'll have a borough that's like that, but then another borough that's different. Another, I think that's the beauty of this part is that it is what it is. Like it's going to be simple, not simple. It's all that as opposed to a bigger city, which is that and 10 other things.
150 DGS on KMOX. Thanks for being with us. We appreciate it. If you're listening on 1120, check out 98.7 FM here in St. Louis. If you are in St. Louis or Colorado or anywhere in between, you can go to the Audacy app, AUDACY, audacy.com. Download the app. You can listen live. You can pause. You can rewind. If I say something I shouldn't say and you want to get me fired, you can podcast. Thank you for our almost 6 million downloads since we've been on KMOX. We appreciate that. We don't even really try that hard. We're kind of the opposite of a try hard. Try not much. And you guys have found us. And I think that's fantastic. Fantastic. It really makes us feel good. I have a couple of air conditioners at my house, which are at the end of their life. And last year, they said, this is the last year. And this year, they said, this is the last year for real, Mr. Glover. And I'm trying to drag them across the finish line and maybe get into October. And woo, I staved off another season of buying new air conditioners. I was asking the guys, what's the warmest temperature where you'll turn off the air and open the windows? Mine's become 80. Which is really rare for me because I like to be.
But just say you like it cold.
I like it cold, but I also like not to have to pay thousands of dollars. How about for you, Rach?
I'm about 80 as well.
Yeah, there you go.
Nope, I'm sweating in 80.
Yeah, maybe like
You must have been miserable in Miami.
Oh my God, I'm not even kidding you. I went through 3 or 4 shirts a day. Like, I mean, every time I went back between classes, I changed shirts. I used to change practice shirts in the middle of practice. Because it would just get so nasty and ugh.
Just keep getting sexier.
Yeah. I was sweaty, Dave.
Where are you at on this?
Got to be like 75. 80 is way too hot.
80 is way too hot. 70 is way too hot.
Yeah, I think I could probably do, I'm probably lying with 75. It's probably more like 72, you know, closer to right at 70.
Yeah, I mean, we keep the house with the AC at like 70 to 72 during the day, mm-hmm. and then cooler at night, like upper 60s at night, because it's fun to sleep in that.
It's so, I own a home and I'm jealous of Rach who rents, because not her problem.
Yeah.
And there's really something to be said for that, especially when you're younger and especially when you're older. Like, it at this point in my life, it's like, well, at some point I'll downsize for sure. And why not just downsize into something where I'm not responsible? And then I know, of course, you have, well, the equity and so forth and so on and interest rates. Yeah, I don't understand any of that.
Yeah, I mean, and it can be true. That doesn't mean that doing it the other way isn't right for you in the moment.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, yes, all of
could
the
be phases.
All of the potential costs of repairs are built into your rent, right? There's a reason why your rent is what it is. But it's still, when something breaks, it's a phone call. It's not, I have to fix it. Or I have to call a company. It's you just call the building. You call your, mm-hmm. you know, you call your supervisor, superintendent, or whatever manager.
Call your boss.
Call your, yeah, yeah.
So you do not like conventions.
I hate conventions. And I hate them because, and even, I know it's always been this way. I know it's been this way forever. But it's like a high school pep rally. And it's so irritating when things that are important get turned into something trivial. Like, yay, team, we're awesome. Like, okay, that's wonderful for your high school football team on a Thursday before a Friday night game. But this is serious stuff. Why do we treat it like it's a game? Get all. I worry when people are, like, so excited about their party and candidate that, like, they're screaming, yeah!
See, I watch the RNC and I go, I don't want to be there necessarily, but I wish I was at, like, a big fun party like that. They all seem like they're having an amazing time. Man. I'm jealous.
Girls watch things different.
I know. I mean, again, I'm the guy that will, like, go to a football game and tailgate and do all that. But, again, that's meant to be entertainment. There are important things at stake, and we're treating it like a sporting event.
Yeah, I mean, I do think there are times where we have made politics the politics as entertainment industrial complex that we've talked about. Uh-huh. But as far as conventions go, I mean, you got to get your platform out there. You got to make it fun. No one wants to hear like a sermon about here's everything that's wrong. I mean, Jimmy Carter did that and didn't work out for him. You've got to kind of get the people who are really into it and be patriotic and wear your cowboy hats and your American flag tie. I don't have any problem with that. I think our rhetoric, right, which we've talked so much, has gotten inflated and we've dehumanized the other side. But as far as the idea of conventions and flag waving and balloons and bunting, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I mean, that's always existed.
A lot of bunting.
But I think the encouragement now is to be the bomb thrower, which is what we always talk about not wanting people to do. Like, I don't think that people like Richard Nixon and John F. Kennedy, when they were at conventions and they were the candidate, I don't recall hearing or reading their speeches being what we hear now. I think the people were excited. There were a lot of flag waving and a lot of people that were like, yay, that's my guy. But this current setting encourages people to be shooting for the dramatic.
A guy brought a dog?
Dude, the governor of West Virginia brought his bulldog and sat it on a chair on stage while he was talking. Baby dog.
The video clip is extremely funny.
Oh, it's hilarious because it zoomed in on him and then it zooms out and baby dog's in a chair right next to him.
Kind of looking at him and the same. And
they look the same. They look exactly the same.
Mm. Yeah.
But are we really doing, like, we're bringing our dog to, I mean, like, that's what drives me nuts. It's supposed to be a big, like, a grown-up person thing, and I'm going to bring my puppy.
The dog was the least offensive thing.
It's not offensive. It's just dumb, and I love dogs.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.